All right, welcome back to the Minnesota Sports Fans Unfiltered Show, where misery loves company. Minnesota Sports FU Show. It's great to be back. We've had a week off here as I attended to some world traveling situations, but I'm back. I'm tan, rested, and ready to get down with the meat of the Minnesota sports season, of the professional sports season, as we've got baseball wrapping up, and then basketball, football, and hockey all underway to various degrees. And so it's a good time to be talking. There's a lot going on with all the Minnesota teams, and we want to make sure we get to that now. Joining me today, and Lonnie is away on assignment, but we are very happy to have Heather Rule back with us again. Heather, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. What have you been up to lately? I understand you've been doing a little prep sports coverage. Anything particularly exciting or noteworthy coming out of that?
Yeah, it's been kind of a busy week for tournaments, for sure. I covered a little bit girls soccer, the state quarterfinals earlier this week, which was really rainy and cold. So it was nice to be up in the press box all dry for that. And so soccer, actually, they'll have their semifinals and state championship coming up this week at US Bank Stadium, which will be kind of cool. I'm actually hoping to get down there and check out the new stadium. I haven't been in there yet, and I figured the high school tournaments is a good time to kind of watch some sports and check out the new stadium when it's not full to the brim of Vikings fans.
Rabid Vikings fans, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. That's awesome. And of course, you can follow Heather and all her exploits on Twitter at HL Rule. We're going to talk some more about hockey later on in the show, where Heather and I also cover the local hockey scene for Wild Extra, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So let's run down the misery power rankings, and then we'll get to our other special guest for the show to give us a little T-Wolves season preview. I don't know if they're still the T-Wolves or if it's just the Wolves now, but we'll get that ironed out. So misery power rankings right now, there's been, you know, it was a weird week to put this together, given all that's going on. And I really focused on who or which team is causing misery to Minnesota teams or Minnesota fans right now. And that's why the list is as it is. But I'm sure there'll be some, I hope there'll be some discussion as a result of where I have the teams. Number five, least misery inducing team right now, the Vikings, 5-1, even though they lost their last game. They play again tomorrow on Monday. We're recording here Sunday afternoon. So they lost their last game, as we all know, but nobody can, can complain about a Vikings at 5-1. So Mike, I've got the Vikes in the least misery-inducing spot, the 5-hole. 4, the Wild, with 3 straight shutouts, first in the Central, tied for 3rd in the league. 3, the Lynx fall all the way from 5-3, so right in the middle. I put them there because they lost in the championship and, frankly, because there just isn't a whole lot else going on to cause misery right now. And then in the 2-hole, the Wolves off to an 0-2 start. I want to find out whether or not that is a reasonable ranking for them at this point in a minute. And then finally, of course, the most misery-inducing team in the Twin Cities, the Minnesota Twins, to the surprise of no one. So let's get right into, Heather, our special guest. His name is Steve Terry. You know him from TSR Injury Law, which is a big supporter of the network, the Minnesota Sports Podcast Network. Steve, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate you being here, especially because I know I for sure am not the closest follower of the NBA, and I know Lonnie isn't normally, and I don't know where Heather comes in on the NBA, but I know she's been doing a lot of prep sports lately. So so tell us, how long have you been a Wolves season ticket holder?
I've been a season ticket holder 2 years after their inception. So when I was in law school to present, I haven't obviously sat in the good seats until recently when I could fortunately afford it. But I've been there for a long time. Actually, my oldest daughter is 16, and I have very clear memories of my wife jumping up and down when Moldig Seeley hit the fadeaway jumper and we were at the game. So it's been a while.
Nice. That's awesome. So, okay, so let's get into the season. This team is a young team. It's an exciting team. There's some positive momentum, at least enough to break through my consciousness. So, so my first question, Heather, if you've got a follow-up after that, but my first question is, you know, what's a reasonable outlook for this team for this season?
It needs to be the playoffs. I don't remember getting a rebate for the last 12 years on my season ticket. So I think that with all the changes and the momentum in the last couple of years, and it's certainly been baby steps, but I would venture a guess that if you don't make at least the eighth seed, that today this year actually will be viewed as not making progress. And I don't think it's even close. I mean, there are certain people, oh, we'll be in the top four and all of that nonsense. But if you can't be in the top eight with this talent and who, you know, we have a good coach now. I think that that's without a doubt that he's a top five coach in the game. If you can't do it, it's going to be a failure.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Heather, do you have a question for Steve on the T-Wolves?
I guess I was just curious on, you know, just your thoughts on a lot of the young players with the Wolves, and which one maybe stands out to you as kind of being the most exciting or most fun to watch. I know people are really excited just kind of about this core group they have. I'm just wondering which player you're most interested in.
Well, last year I was most interested in Karl Anthony Towns. I think that when he came in and he was doing things that first-year players haven't done in a while, and it's always interesting to, you know, all my friends and all my, you know, coworkers, and they all think that somehow I'm part owner of the Wolves, and which I'm not, but, you know, so they come to me and they're like, oh, and Karl Anthony is an incredible talent, and I think what he did last year got people really excited, and when you hear smart folks saying, hey, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, it's like, okay, let's hold the brakes. But we're only two games in this year, and I think it's fair to say that Karl Anthony Towns is not currently the best player on the team. And I think that it's kind of interesting, and you'll have to figure out who the alpha dog is going forward, but it seems to be Wiggins. He spent a lot of time in the offseason. They talk about with his dribble and hitting a three. I know last year in the second half, he actually started hitting threes on a pretty good rate. And, you know, he was Rookie of the Year when before Karl Anthony. He was a once in a 10-year, you know, generational type player. And then when Cat came along, he kind of became second fiddle pretty quickly. But so far this year, and again, it's only a couple games, he has by far been the better player. Quite frankly, not even close. I watched the game last night, and, you know, just in terms of him with his handle and hitting threes and being dominant. Now, if he could hit some free throws, that would, you know, be a bonus, but you can't have everything as a Wolves fan.
I feel like the lead up since we got Tibbs was a nice long one. We had basically the whole summer exposure to him through that. Where are you as far as Tibbs' effect? Tell me what you're excited about with him and what dynamic he's bringing to the team and around the team to you as a fan.
He is the first coach that we've had that is in his prime and that is undisputed a top five coach. And it's not even close. I'm a homer. So, I mean, every coach I was excited about Rambis. Okay. So clearly I know nothing, but the point is that he is the first time that they have gone out as an organization and got the best prospect. You know, Flip Saunders did incredible things, but I think it's fair that, especially his first go around, he really was not a known commodity. He was more of the Minnesota kind of Kevin McHale buddy, you know, the country club type atmosphere. That's where that whole, you know, shtick came from. But, you know, obviously, and he developed into a pretty good coach and a real good GM. You know, obviously he gets credit for the pieces that are in place, but with Tibbs, he's the first time that he's in his prime. So you think about, you know, Rick Adelman, he was a great coach, but he was a great coach in the, you know, 80s and 90s in Sacramento. When he came here, he was more like the grumpy, you know, the crabby grandpa, and had kind of, in my opinion, checked out a little bit. So I think from an organizational standpoint and just from a fan standpoint, everyone's super excited. Now, with that being said, I think, again, these first two games have been a bit of a reality check that he's not out there doing defense and he's not checking a three-pointer and, you know, he's not the one passing the ball off people's feet. So, you know, you still need the players to play, but at least I think the fans have faith that he will not be the problem. And that he can cause a solution because he has a very long history of winning and turning around, you know, places that he's been. So I think as fans, we're super excited. I'd be a lot more excited if they had won one of two games or both. But at this point, you just have to have hope.
That was one of the things I wanted to touch on too, was, you know, one of the things that sports fans love to do, especially in Minnesota, is, you know, panic a little bit when things don't go well. Especially early. I know, if you know, the Wild, they lost their first game and it was, you know, not very good. So I'm just curious, you know, two games in, two losses, is there anything big to be concerned about, or is it just, you know, still obviously very early and things, the kinks will kind of get worked out?
Well, I think the perception is that, again, you have faith, so we're not panicked. I think if you go back to a Rambis or some of these other Yahoos they've had in here, you know, then you start questioning the system. And it's like, you know, do they know what they're doing? Clearly the answer was no. Tibbs knows what he's doing. So I think from that standpoint, it's like everyone stay calm. But I think the wake-up call is that these are still children playing with men. And that's the thing is, you know, in the preseason, we're blowing people out by 30, you know, it's like, oh, this is great. Our great enthusiasm and athleticism and all this other stuff. But, you know, you watch these games and, you know, Paul Gasol the brother Gasol and, mm-hmm. and Cousins, those are men. Those are grown ass men that are thick and, you know, have been doing this for a long time. And both of those games, they took over. And we had, you know, we can have all these rookies of the year running around, but I mean, they were getting knocked around and everybody, you know, like you forget, you know, Pekovic was kind of the antidote to that. I mean, he's a grown man. It's just, he can't walk because he has, you know, bad feet. But I mean, that's the wake up call. So I don't think people are panicked, but it's kind of like watching water boil. I mean, when you really want to eat and the water's not boiling and you're just looking at it and you're like, why is it not boiling? I mean, it's the same thing with age. I mean, people forget, our best three players are 21, 21, and 20.
Wow.
Okay. Chris Dunn came in. He's older than them, and he's a rookie. So, I mean, you have to wait and let the process take its course. As a fan, I don't want to wait. I want to see, you know, Showtime Lakers. I want to see Bulls. I want to see Pistons. I want to see, you know, that next step. But you have to kind of, you know, step back and just let people mature and grow from these experiences. And, you know, you're happy when they're up by 17, you know, but then you're like, how the hell did you lose? You know, it's very frustrating, but again, you know, you can't coach age. You just got to let them grow.
Yeah. Great stuff. So last one for me on the T-Wolves, I don't know if Heather's got a follow, but you talked about the fans and expectations. Tell us about the fan experience at Target Center. Obviously not the newest building in town, and obviously they're trying to do some updates to it. But, you know, do you feel like it's a fun atmosphere? Is it more of a family atmosphere? Is it more of a corporate atmosphere? You know, what are we missing? Those who are not going to the games, what are they missing?
Well, it's fun. It's a lot more filled up now. You know, the Target Center, it's older, but it, I mean, it's not a dump. I mean, it is nice. And they put in the new scoreboard, which is incredible. I know after this season, they're supposed to then gut the inside and put in all the different suites. And I've seen, as one of these ticket holders, 2 years ago, they were emailing me, hey, here's what these look like. What's your opinion? So, I mean, I've been lucky enough to have some insight into what they're planning, and it's going to be spectacular, you know, but right now with the construction, it's not the best of situations. But overall it is a lot of fun. You know, as for whether it's corporate or fan, you know, family friendly, I don't go to Vikings games because I don't think that it's family friendly. I mean, it's a lot of people getting drunk and swearing and vomiting on each other and all this kind of stuff. And that's, I'd rather just sit at home and, you know, vomit on myself. But anyway, you know, with the Timberwolves, it's not that way. It is clean family fun. Now, with that being said, you know, the Jim and John like to tease me that I get to look at Thibodeau's ass all game, which is the truth. I mean, there is some truth to that. The seats that we're fortunate enough to have are awesome in the respect that you hear the interaction, and that to me is worth it. But if you actually want to watch a game, you don't want to sit where we're sitting because I can't see half the game. Okay. And I even said this on the last podcast, you know, no one out there is going to give a rat's ass about my complaint about not being able to see half the game because that's a, you know, half of a 1% problem. But
right.
It is kind of funny. But I will say this about Family Fun. Thibodeau has a very potty mouth, and it's funny. It could offend me not at all. It's hilarious to me. But, you know, I would say that he is very much into the game. And it's, I mean, he is riding these guys. And, you know, I've been to the one game. It was a preseason. I can't remember who it was again. It might have been Memphis. But, you know, and he's riding this thing like game seven, you know, of the championship. And so from that perspective, you know, I think that's worth the price of admission right there. I mean, even John, who sits back up with the, you know, the professionals, I mean, he can hear it. And you don't have to be close to hear what he's saying. And,
right.
And I think that that makes it fun. And also, you know, there is some excitement in the building. I mean, we have players that other teams want. And that hasn't been the case. I mean, you know, we've had Kevin Garnett. Okay, yeah, so we've had him. We had, you know, Latrell Sprewell, who, you know, maybe somebody would want. But I'm talking about bona fide stud players. Again, they're young, but we have players that other teams want. And I think that there's something to be said for watching a team develop from a young age. You hopefully keep them together and you see them kind of, you know, as a wolf pack or whatever the analogy is, kind of grow together. And I think that that is exciting. And the only other time I've seen it, growing up in Detroit, Michigan, I saw it when they drafted Isaiah Thomas. And Isaiah came in and he changed the franchise. And then they brought players in around him, like Joe Dumars, who they got, like, I think the 18th pick. And, you know, they brought in Vinny Johnson and Bill Laimbeer and these players you hadn't heard of, but they kind of gelled. And they had this young, they drafted Dennis Rodman in the second round the same year they drafted John Sally. So right there, is, you know, within three drafts, they had Thomas, Dumars, Sally, and Rodman. Mm-hmm. That's a team, okay? Mm-hmm. You look at this team. You know, Levine, Shabazz, you know, Belly was a second round pick. Now you got the two rookies of the year. Now you got Dunn. I mean, it is a very exciting time, but they have to take baby steps. And if you look at the history of the NBA, and I don't mean that, I'm getting old here, but, you know, the Pistons had to beat the Celtics. Okay. That's just the way it was. Then the Pistons became the big dog, and then the Bulls had to beat the Pistons. And it took a couple playoffs. Losses. Remember, Jordan was a choker. So you kind of go through this. So when you asked me in the very beginning, what does this year need to consist of? To me, it's get these young pups rolling, get some confidence, get into the playoffs any way you can. It can be like Garnett and Marbury. Get the eighth seed, get your ass whipped by Houston, whatever it is, get in and let them kind of build it from there. And then you hope that the momentum kind of gets you going and you start working your way to the sixth seed, the fourth seed. And hopefully within 2, 3, 4 years, now you have the Oklahoma City, you know, where your best players are first or second seed. And that's what you're hoping for. I mean, you know, you just got to wait.
How would you rate this year as far as excitement goes? I mean, when's the last time, you know, the fan base has been, you know, this optimistic and excited about Timberwolves basketball?
When they traded for Marbury for Ray Allen.
Okay.
Because you had Garnett, and Marbury came in here from New York. And, I mean, obviously it didn't turn out well, what we know now. But at the time, it was the right trade. He was breaking ankles. Garnett, as great as he was never an alpha. I mean, you know, he was always the second dog. That's why he won the championship with Paul Pierce as the alpha. But you go back to, I mean, Marbury was the alpha. And that's why the whole thing blew up, because Garnett got the money first and Marbury wanted, he was like, I'm the alpha. I need the same amount of money, blah, blah, blah. He couldn't do it. So they blew up. But it has not been this exciting to the fan base since putting those two together with Gugliotta. And I think rightfully so. And you can say what you want about Marbury and, quite frankly, Kevin Garnett, who, as great as he is kind of a weirdo. But I think we have really talented players. And from everything that my interaction with them and talking to people, just kind of whatever, these are actually decent human beings. They're smart. They really care. And, you know, they're good in the community. You're not going to, you know, hear about them on the police lines. And so I think we're very fortunate to have this foundation, and I think the fan base has a right to be excited. And I think it's the most, I mean, from requests of people wanting to sit with me, it seems to be pretty exciting, and I got all kinds of new friends.
That's awesome. Well, Steve, we really appreciate it. This is great information. We hope to have you on throughout the season to continue to give us updates on the team and anything else on your mind. But thanks for coming in today. And, of course, Steve and his firm, TSR Injury Law, huge sponsors of the network. You can get them at 612-TSR-TIME. Steve, enjoy the rest of your weekend and enjoy the start of the season.
Go Wolves.
Go Wolves, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Outstanding. So, Heather, when's the last time you were at a Wolves game?
15 years, maybe. It's been a long time.
It's
been a long time. That's for sure. He was talking about, he mentioned Gugliotta. Kevin Garnett. I mean, kind of back when I was younger, I mean, we went to a few games in Marbury too. It's been a long time, but you know, I think I've definitely noticed the excitement around bringing in some of these younger players. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I haven't gone in a long time as well, but I'll tell you what, hearing him talk made me interested in checking them out. I mean, that's, certainly the news about the team and the momentum about the team has even cut through to my consciousness. So that's gotta be positive, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I was actually there. I covered a couple of the WNBA finals games with the Lynx and saw the new scoreboard that they have. Yeah. And it's actually pretty cool to see. I mean, because I was sitting close down to the floor, and just the way they have it set up, I mean, you can see they kind of have it inside, like some of the video screens and just some of the scoring stats. So you can see from kind of wherever you're sitting. It's definitely a nice upgrade.
That's awesome. Yeah. So if you're listening, get a chance to go down and see the team play, check them out. I would imagine that even though it sounds like it's more busy now or more full now, that there are probably still tickets to be had. So go give them a look. Really briefly, let's switch over to the Vikings for a second. And the only point I want to make on the Vikings, and I want to hear what you think about this point, but the only point I want to make on the Vikings is that coming off the loss, and it was a pretty ugly game, this is an opportunity Monday night against the Bears for the Vikings to really show us that, at least to this point, this is not them reverting back to the age-old Viking story of showing us just some promise and then pulling it all away. So I think this is a pretty big game for the Vikings as far as their fans are concerned, at least me as a fan, that if they come out and win the game pretty much anyway, that I think that people will be comfortable or more comfortable. But if they come out and lose the game and stink it up like they have been known to in the past, amazingly, even against Cutler, then I think that we're going to start to feel the heat a little bit. What's your take on that?
I would agree. It's funny how, especially in football, just, you know, week to week or, you lose a game, you win a game, just how different the reactions can be. It was funny, even last week, you know, I was watching some of the coverage and, you know, the Vikings are still 5-1 after that loss, but just hearing, you know, what people were saying and even, you know, some of the local news guides, it was just like, oh gosh, this is just so terrible and the sky is falling. And, you know, it was one game and it's still a long season. So I thought that was kind of interesting, but yeah, I would agree. I think they probably want to get back on the winning track tomorrow night. I don't think it would bode very well for the fans to see them lose to the Bears. And I think it at that point would have some cause for concern. At the same time, though, I think it's still very interesting because of all that happened with the injuries, you know, with Teddy and Adrian Peterson, that they're, you know, that they started off 5-0 in the first place. Who was expecting that? So I don't know. I think in some ways they're on, I don't know if it's borrowed time necessarily, but just, I don't think it's a huge reason to panic yet, but I think people will start to freak out a little bit if they lose tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a good point. It definitely feels like they are a team deserving of a 5-1 record, that they're a solid team, at least from the defensive standpoint, but has been enough. And that is an elite defense in the league right now. So maybe they're a good enough team to deserve that record. On the other side of the coin, let's jump into the Wild. And talking about the Wild, I do want to mention our friend Tony Hoagland, your State Farm agent in Champlin. Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much car value their car insurance company is delivering. If you are one of them, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin can help you get to a better state, because he'll talk with you, listen to you, and help you put together a policy that has you written all over it, from cost to coverage, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Then call State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin and officially get to a better state with State Farm. You can get Tony at 763-421-4900. Okay, so I had just said I think the Vikings are a good team, deserving their record. Somehow I feel like the Wild is not as good a team inherently as their record. Do you agree or disagree with that, Heather?
You know, I would agree with that, I think. In some way, you know, I was just sitting here thinking about it, and it's kind of like things are going so well right now with just the depth of scoring and the record that all that means is then they have further to fall, I guess, right. Which, you know, we've seen them do in the past. And yeah, I think the glaring thing that stands out is the slow starts, and, you know, that they come out and are a different team in the second period, or, you know, kind of reverse that. I mean, last right. night they had, what, one shot, I think, in the second period.
Yeah, it was awful.
So, you know, not that, shots aren't goals. That's not, right. You know, but it's still kind of the measuring stick. And yeah, I think it's been really amazing to see all the scoring that they've had so far, but at the same time, you kind of wonder, okay, they can't keep this up. I mean, Dubnyk's not going to keep getting shutouts all the time. You know, he's going to eventually fall back down a little bit to earth and let in some of the soft goals, or, you know, whatever's going to happen. So I would agree with that.
I wonder, you know, Boudreau had said earlier in the season that he thought it might be Christmas time before the team finally got it. And, you know, the transition from the old way of playing under Yo and Torch to his way of playing. And then, of course, you have some injuries to overlap on top of that recently. And certainly the Parisi injury is going to be a significant one in the context of this team. Haula's also injured, and Scandella. We've got a couple guys banged up. So there are certainly reasons to keep, you know, the progression in check. But the question I would ask you is, you know, we've seen the Wild in the past several seasons store some chestnuts early in the season such that they could then withstand or survive a prolonged a slump in the middle of the season. You know, if that ends up being the way this season goes, and obviously if there's a long slump, there's another huge problem. But if they end up, you know, despite injuries and despite learning, they're winning right now. If somehow the league catches up to them after they sort of show their hand a little bit, you know, over the first handful of games and come back to the pack. I mean, you made a great point. I mean, obviously, Dubnyk isn't going to have a shutout every night, although that would be awesome. But that's probably not going to happen. So if they, you know, once the league starts to see what this team does and starts to catch up to them and be able to plan for that and react to that, or proactively plan for that, let's say, before a game, then so if this is the way the season goes, they play well at the beginning, they come back to the pack a little bit, scratch and claw for the playoffs. I mean, is that, given that we both sort of agree this is maybe not the most, you know, the record doesn't necessarily reflect the overall team, you know, is that how you kind of see this season playing out?
I think so. I think the big key that everyone's going to be waiting for is the midseason swoon that they've had the past few years. And I think until they don't do that, that's what everyone's going to be waiting for. And, you know, if they lose a couple games in a row in like late November or something, automatically there's going to be talk of that again.
Right,
and
right.
People are going to be wondering, you know, even with the new coach in there, they're going to be wondering like, oh, you know, here we go again. Is this their midseason slump? I mean, even last year, I think they had a few games where they lost, you know, kind of early, kind of that late November time. And it turned out that wasn't the worst part of it. I mean, that wasn't their big slump, but they did lose a few games. So I think that's going to be the big thing to watch for and see if they can overcome that and not get into a big rut in January. You know, even if that doesn't happen, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if they're, you know, kind of trying to get that seventh or eighth seed again. I mean, it just seems to be how it's been going and how it works. with them. So, I mean, and there's so many other good teams too.
Yeah.
So I think to me, that's the midseason slump is kind of the big X factor, because until they overcome that and don't do it, I mean, that's going to be what's expected.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair point. Last thing in the Wild for me is one thing that I've noticed. I saw the games in Boston and Buffalo this week. And one thing I've noticed is that they're doing a really good job pressuring the opposing D at the blue line. So when we're on defense, the forwards pressuring at the points and creating turnovers and at least thwarting prolonged attacks. Something that I'm going to keep my eye on here is maybe a new wrinkle in what they do, but also its relative effectiveness. What systematically or have you had your eye on or have you caught on to that is something you're looking for as we move forward here?
I think everyone's kind of taken notice of the breakaways for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting to see kind of the takes on that, because everyone's kind of like, oh, well, they're not scoring on the breakaways. And, you know, they finally have gotten a couple. And, for me, I'm kind of like, well, let's just see how it plays out. And I mean, just to even get the breakaways and the amount they've been getting, I think was positive in my view. So I think eventually, I mean, those pucks are going to go in sometime, or at least you would hope so. So I think there's that. And then the other thing is just that I've been looking for is just when they're set up in the offensive zone, not seeing, you know, three guys behind the goal line trying to set up a play, and then there's no one out front to pass, right, which has kind of been a pattern with them the past few years over a couple different coaches. So I'm always curious to see, you know, how systematically, you know, how that's going to go. I haven't really noticed that too much yet this year. Guys are out front, they're trying to make plays. So I guess those would be the two things that I've noticed.
Yep. Nice. All right. Well, listen, Heather, thank you so much for joining us, by the way. It's always great to talk to you, and we appreciate you coming by. Do you have any sort of final parting shot that you would like to, take here as we move towards the exit?
Parting shot. I mean, I think we kind of covered some good ground on the Wild for sure. Just kind of circling back to the prep stuff. You know, there's a lot going on the next couple weeks with that too. Football section and state coming up, and volleyball. I just got done covering a couple days of the girls tennis state tournament as well. So pretty busy time for preps in Minnesota for the fall seasons.
Absolutely. That's Heather Rule. Thank you so much again for coming with us. You can follow Heather all the time on Twitter at HL Rule. As far as my final thing, again, I'm looking for the Vikings to get us all back on focus tomorrow night. Like I said earlier, I don't really care how they win. But a win, an ugly win is huge, whereas any kind of a loss is a potential very scary thing for those of us long-term Vikings fans who have seen that movie many, many, many times with this team. That and apparently the formula for winning for the Wild is a good first period, a bad second period, and a good third period. Add them together and you get a Dubnyk shutout. Who would have thought? Anyway, for Heather Rule and for Brandon, this is Nick. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Minnesota Sports Fans Unfiltered show on MNSPN's network. We look forward to talking to you again soon.